From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of September 2025. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Always remember. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Matt Bennett. He is at agmarket.net. We'll discuss the weather forecast with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather, and we'll hear from Joe Jansen today about the products as it's related to soybeans, bean meal, and bean oil, how that has changed over the years, and what renewable diesel has done to cause the industry to press more oil and be more efficient in the last 4 to 5 years. We'll also ask you to join us this week as a supporter of the Ag Programming from Illinois Public Media with a gift in support of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week and all the other programming that you hear from IPM. You can do that easily enough at 217-244-9455 or willgive.org, willgive.org. It is public radio for the farming world. We come to you just a few times each year and ask for your financial support. It's really important this time around. I hope that you will make time to dial that number or to go to willgive.org and make the donation right now, today.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at 419 and three quarters, up 2 3/4 of a cent. The March at 437 and a quarter bushel, 2 3/4 higher. And the May contract up 2.5 cents. It settled at $4.47.5 for the corn. November beans, 10.33.5, 8 1/4 higher. January soybeans, 10.52.5, up 7 3/4. And March, 10.68, 7 cents higher. Bean meal up $2.60. The bean oil, 61 cents higher. Wheat futures in the soft red winter for the December at 5.21.5, up 6.5 cents. The hard red December at 5.10, up 3 for the day. Live cattle futures a $1.12.5 higher. Feeder cattle up $1.95 on the day. And the lean hogs, 97.5 cents higher. Crude oil down $1.29 a barrel. Diesel fuel off 4 9/10 of a cent per gallon. And the wholesale price of gasoline down 2 8/10 at $1.97.9 of a cent for the afternoon. Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net now joins us. He's in the field this afternoon. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us. I take it you're cutting beans today. Tell me about it.
Yeah, we we tried cutting a few there a couple days ago, and they were just too wet, and we gave it a little bit of time. In all honesty, they've dropped, good Lord, probably 3 to 4 points in the last 2 days. I mean, clearly this warm weather is changing things very rapidly. Beans are good. I mean, they were our first plant of beans on black ground, and you know, I think that they'll be probably close to APH, but certainly not quite as good as the beans we've been cutting the last few years here.
Does it give you any indication of what you think tomorrow's USDA report will look like, given those numbers will come from September 1st, or now nearly 12 days ago by the time we get to them tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that this field, for instance, that I'm cutting right now, if we would have had rain in the month of August, in my yield potential August 1st, I would have said it would be 15 bushel at least better than what we're cutting. But, you know, yeah, I would have to assume with so much of the Corn Belt being as dry as what we've been, that they're going to have to consider lowering yields at least a little bit. You know, the average trade guess I get, I believe on corn's 186. I think corn or soybeans, in my opinion, dropping a bushel would make sense. I don't know if the USDA is going to get super aggressive here, but at the same time, it was one of the driest Augusts we've ever seen across a pretty decent chunk of the Corn Belt. So if they do make some sizable drops, I guess it wouldn't be too hard to fathom.
I know that things could change dramatically depending on what USDA does tomorrow. But at this point, farmers looking at a harvest of a record corn crop, probably a very good-sized soybean crop as well. What should they consider on the bushels that have to go across the scale as opposed to those, and I suppose those that need to or can stay in the bin at home?
You know, if you have to go across the scale on soybeans, there's so much carry in the market that you can probably pay for the storage and actually store them commercially. I know a lot of folks are wanting to sell and then do some sort of a re-ownership. I'd probably be more of a fan of that on corn maybe than soybeans. But I think you can get yourself long a call spread out to May for 15 cents or less with an at-the-money call. You know, I'd probably put like a 70-cent window in something like that. With a strategy like that, essentially, you're going to be maybe a third of the cost of commercial storage. You know, and you know darn good and well that if the market doesn't rally between now and next spring, you'll probably pick some basis up, but you're going to spend a heck of a lot of money storing. So if bushels got to go across on corn, I'd probably consider selling and then re-owning. And then on soybeans, some commercial storage would be okay. I don't know that I'd do them all that way, but that's the way I'd be looking at it.
USDA always takes into account current trade policy when it releases the WASDE report. Those are the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates, the S&D tables that come out again tomorrow, along with those crop production figures. They have maintained both corn and soybean exports fairly well. Do you think on soybeans that they will take an opportunity tomorrow to change things up a little?
Yeah, I mean, I would assume that if you see any sort of yield reduction in beans, you'll get the drop in demand that'll come directly off of exports. I'll just tell you, Todd, for our numbers, I mean, we came in with 52.5, which was the same estimate we had a month ago. But coinciding with that, we actually took 100 million bushels off of soybean demand. So, you know, we took our yield down 1.1 bushels from USDA. But we actually had a little bit bigger carryout than a month ago. And I think something like that would be reasonable to assume. If the USDA has to get more aggressive in the future as far as taking yields down even more, I do think they still have wiggle room there. You know, our exports to other people than China have been fantastic so far for soybeans as far as what they typically buy, the non-Chinese customers. But obviously, we're not selling hardly any beans. There was a rumor this morning that there were some beans sold to China. But that would be the first shipment. So absolutely, I think they'll probably have to take some out of demand and it'd be out of exports.
One other policy, the SREs, there is some information floating around that the Trump administration may not make the large refineries pick up all, maybe only half or less of what the SREs are allowed and have been. That would be something like 500 million gallons worth of RINs. Does that make any difference to the marketplace? It seemed to shrug it off.
Yeah, I mean, the market shrugged it off for the time being. I mean, most of what we've heard over the last couple of weeks is that something like that was very possible to try to appease both sides. Certainly, it would be, I think, our first thing as far as renewable fuels go that would be viewed as very disappointing versus what, you know, especially the ag folks were looking to see. But at the same time, you know, I mean, they're talking about potential for E15. I think hopefully we can get that offset with some better news. But by all means, that's not exactly what we were all looking for.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
No, just as guys get out there, I think they're going to find that this stuff is clearly drying down very quickly. So if this weather holds, Todd, I think that 2 to 3 weeks from now, there's going to be a lot of bare fields.
Stay safe, and thanks for joining us from the Combine Cab this afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net in Windsor, Illinois. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world, where about 40% of our budget comes from you, our listeners, and about 20% of our budget in the last 2 months has disappeared as Congress, in a rescission, removed already designated dollars that we were going to use in this fiscal year, the one we're in right now, and in the next fiscal year as well. So 20% this year and 20% next year both. We're trying to make some of that up in this 4-day period where we're coming to you and asking for your donations. We're looking to raise $100,000. Now, we're short $1.5 million, so there's a lot more to do, but we've been doing that in the last several weeks and reconfiguring how the station works. And of course, there are issues that come along with that, but we need your help today. And I'm hopeful that you will dial in at 217-244-9455 or go to willgive.org and make a pledge of support. I like the $120 level to start out with. If you happen to be brand new and have never given before, that would be fantastic. Less is perfectly fine, by the way. More is great as well. Now, if you've been with us for a while, I'm going to ask you to do something I've not ever asked. I've been at $120 with you for, no, I don't know, maybe 10 years now. I want you to go to $240. I really do, or something in between. If you can do more, that would be great too. We're under the gun, a bit like you are. I know it's deep in your pocket, and thank you so much for giving and caring. We do the same for you, and we're here every day, including Saturdays and Sundays with Market to Market on television. So if this makes a difference to you, go ahead and please make your call at 217-244, your call at 217-244. Let me repeat that again, your call at 217-244-9455. Or make that pledge at willgive.org. However you do it, do tell the person on the other end of the line or put into the comments section in support of agriculture. And thank you. Thank you so much for the gift. Today, we're going to dive into the long-run evolution of the soybean crush with Joe Jansen from the University of Illinois. Now, he's been exploring this concept through a series of articles on the Farm Doc Daily website. The Ag Economist says the research uncovers some interesting changes. When you crush a 60-pound bushel of soybeans, the standard calculation assumes you get 11 pounds of soybean oil, 44 pounds of soybean meal, 4 pounds of hulls, and 1 pound of waste. But when Illinois' Jansen looked at the data, he found a slightly different story. Those proportions aren't as fixed as one might think, he says, and the difference is reshaping the nature of soybean demand.
Let's start with our key finding. Waste rates in soybean processing have declined by 44% since the 1960s. We're talking about going from 2.7% waste down to just 1.5% today. Essentially, the industry figured out how to extract a percentage point more value out of every single soybean. This might seem small, but when you're processing billions of bushels, these small improvements add up to significant gains.
Here's the important part of that change. While waste was going down, soybean oil extraction rates were going up.
Not only were crushers wringing more output out of each bushel, but the composition of that output was changing. Back in the mid-1960s, a typical bushel yielded about 18% oil. Today, it's nearly 20%. That means each bushel of soybeans produces about 10% more oil than it did 60 years ago. Importantly, the gains in oil output were larger than the decline in waste, so the composition of the crush was changing.
Now, why does this matter? Well, enter the renewable diesel boom. Starting around 2020, demand for soybean oil as a biofuel feedstock exploded. Now, if you're a soybean processor, you'd like to dial up oil production while leaving meal production fixed. The problem, of course, is that soybeans come in fixed packages. You can't make more oil without making more meal, but the data since 2020 suggests it is possible to extract more of the oil that is already in the bean.
Since 2020, right when renewable diesel took off, soybean oil extraction rates have been consistently above their 60-year trend line. This suggests the market is adapting in real time. The changes aren't huge. Changing the composition of the crush is like turning an ocean liner. It doesn't occur instantaneously. But there is some evidence of a response.
It seems then that the soybean industry may have a little bit more flexibility than the standard board crush margin suggests. When the market conditions change, producers, processors can adapt by tweaking extraction and improving efficiency. It's not instantaneous, and it's not unlimited, but it is happening, says Joe Jansen.
So, what does this all mean? First, those standard industry calculations about crush ratios, the one that assume exactly 18.3% oil content, might need updating. It seems that the soybean industry might have a little bit more flexibility than the standard board crush margin suggests. Last, this has implications for farmers, food prices, and fuel markets. When processors can squeeze more oil out of the same amount of soybeans, it changes the economic equation.
The FarmDoc team will explore those potential changes going forward. You may look for them online at the University of Illinois FarmDoc Daily website. Hey, have you gone online or dialed in yet and made your contribution during this fall fund drive. I hope so. Thank you if you already have. If you've never done this before, it's quick, it's simple, it's easy. Please take time right now, particularly if you've not ever given before, to make a gift to WILL in support of the Ag Programming, 217-244-9455. Or go to willgive.org. And again, thank you for taking the time. It makes a big difference to us. And we're really kind of dealing with the same kinds of shortfalls you have been dealing with too. I know it's hard to reach in your back pocket, but we're both here working together, trying to make things better on the farm. Let's check in now with Mike Tenura. He's the CEO and president of T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. I want to look back at the month of August. Now that you've had some time to really comb through the data, it's a big month for soybeans. What can you tell me about it as it's related to climate and weather historically?
Well, it's rather fascinating in that it was unusually dry. It was the sixth driest on record in the seven-state Corn Belt going back to 1960. And interestingly, that makes it the sixth driest going all the way back to 1895 because we didn't have very many dry Augusts prior to 1960. The most notable state in this region is Ohio because it was the driest in more than 131 years of record in the month of August. And Missouri was the driest since 1936, which you might recall is the peak of the Dust Bowl year. And then if we look at Illinois and Indiana, they were the driest since 2013. And those four states are pretty much driving this whole piece. Because if you look at Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska, their rains were pretty much normal for last month. So this dryness story is being driven by essentially the southeast half of U.S. corn and soybeans. And even though we aren't talking too much about the Mid-South right now, you need to keep in mind that they were unusually dry from late June through late August. And basically what's happened is that the dryness and drought that developed there during part of the summer essentially expanded northward.
Can you tell me, because you're not only a meteorologist, but an agricultural economist and do a lot of work with yield, what impact those dry years had on soybeans?
Well, if you look at the 10 driest Augusts on record going back to 1960, U.S. soybean yields, after you detrend them, and what we're doing there is we're basically looking back at the yields from 1960 all the way through last year, and you know they go up over time, so you need to flatten that line to make them all visible as if they were happening in this year. And if you do that, what you end up seeing is that 9 of the 10 driest Augusts on record had yields that were lower than what the USDA is projecting at 53.6 bushels per acre. The one year that was higher was 1969, and the yield would be expected to be 54.3 this year, so a little higher than where the USDA is at. If you look back at all these years, a few of them aren't really comparable to what we're in. The easiest ones to remove from these 10 driest Augusts would be 1983 and 2012 and 2003, and that's because of severe and prolonged drought, as well as an aphid infestation in 2003. And all those lower deals. And that doesn't really match anything that's been going on this year. So we just kind of throw those out. But if you look at the rest of them, you know, 1969 is the one that's the most interesting because it still yielded above where the USDA is today. And that's, you know, around 1 to 2 bushels per acre above the long-term average. That year had rainfall that was fairly similar to this year from April all the way through August. So, you know, you can't completely discount that as a possibility. The biggest difference between 1969 and this year is the months of June and July. This June was way, way warmer than in 1969, and it also was a little bit warmer in July. August temperatures were pretty similar. So, you know, that's kind of the big difference is whether or not that's going to play into this. The other year that had somewhat similar weather, at least during the height of the growing season, was 2008. And the yield in 2008 would drop all the way down to 50 bushels per acre, right on the money there. But the thing about 2008 that might not be super representative with this year is that it was planted quite a bit later than this year. That was because of some flooding in Iowa that happened back in 2008. And the other difference is that this growing season was a lot warmer pretty much every single month, all the way from the spring through the summer. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see how all this pans out. But the other fascinating thing that's going on is that, you know, some people argue that, well, you can still get out of a poor August with okay rains in September, but that certainly hasn't happened. It's been super dry, and there's really no rain coming up from the Mid-South through Indiana and Ohio. There might be a little bit in Illinois, but, you know, this is a pretty dry pattern that we're still in. So basically, you know, the last third of your growing season is going to go down in the books is unusually dry in all these states that we talked about earlier.
If there's nothing else about the forecast going forward, which it doesn't sound like there is, what do you see in South America?
Well, the rainy season is going to start a little bit early in Mato Grosso. This is the top producer in Brazil as far as their states go. It accounts for about 30% of soybean production. And typically the rainy season there will start as early as September 20th and as late as October 10th, and it's always a little bit variable there, but it has very little effect on their overall crop potential. It just really matters as to where, when these soybeans will come online later on when they're harvested. But it's already thunderstorming there this week, and it's going to ramp up next week and into the following week. So basically, the rainy season is going to start a couple of weeks early in Mato Grosso, and that's going to allow soybean planting to start early too. Now, just because it's raining now doesn't mean it has to continue. They really don't see regular rains until after mid-October, and that's still 4 to 5 weeks out. So, yes, you can plant now because it is going to rain and it is raining a little bit, but it's still a risky move because if you want to be certain, you really have to wait, you know, until you get into October before getting those in the ground. And the other thing to keep in mind is that even though Mato Grosso is 30% of Brazil production, there's other key states up there, like Goiás and Minas Gerais, and then into the north. And those areas are not going to receive much rain, if any. They typically don't start to receive rain until the middle of October and even into November. So even though the rainy season is starting early in part of Brazil, it's not representative of the entire country.
Hey, thanks much, Mike.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me.
That's Mike Tenura. He is with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. I hope by now you've gone online too at willgive.org and made your donation in support of the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. If not, there's still time. Just keep going ahead and dialing the number 217-244-9455 or go online at willgive.org. I like the $120 level to start with if you're brand new. If you've been with us for a while, actually for everybody, I kind of like $240. We're under the gun a bit here and we're trying to raise $100,000 by the time we get to Friday afternoon. The help from the ag audience would be fantastic. Fantastic. Less is perfectly fine, particularly if you're brand new and you've never given before. I really urge you to take just a moment, think about this program and what it means to you, and then put a dollar amount on it. Go to 217-244-9455 or willgive.org and make that donation today. Either way, make sure you tell the person you're talking with or put in the comments section in support of agriculture. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.